Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 276, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. And it's Wednesday, it sure is, February 22nd, 2023. My name's Jack O'Brien, aka your own personal plumpers, someone to Baja Blast. Someone with ass, reach out and touch Joel's. That is courtesy of Lagaroni on the Discord. Yeah, reference to my plump thighs, my big ass, my Baja Blast's affection, and reach out and touch Jaws, or as it's pronounced by my Philly cousins, Joel's. Like the plural of Joel. Jackie, still into Joel's? Anyways, we're thrilled to be joined in our second seat by a very talented writer, comedian, and podcast host of the Bechdel Cast. She has the most anagrammable name in the English language. It's Caitlin Durante!
Woo, it's me! And here's a song I'm about to sing.
Yeah.
When the living room's full of a Lego ship's hull, that's Durante. And that is courtesy of at Fresh Frankie on Twitter.
That was beautiful. I mean, there were even like flourishes, little vocal runs in there. That was beautiful.
I really gave the performance of a lifetime. I'm glad you noticed.
You just blacked out. Yeah, your eyes rolled back in your head when you were singing that.
My nose is bleeding. It was a whole thing.
Amazing. Did you complete the Titanic Lego?
Ages ago.
All right, we're all out of the loop here in various ways, but congratulations
to
you.
And yes, that song is a reference to... Thank you so much. That song is a reference to the fact that I did buy the Lego Titanic, I don't know, structure, and spent weeks putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
And it now... It was on my living room floor for a while. Now it's on my bedroom floor because I don't have any place to actually put it.
Yeah, it's like it's massive.
It's huge.
It's the size of a bathtub.
It really is.
Would you like an extra bathtub? I wouldn't know what to do with that. Anyways, congratulations.
Thank you.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the funniest stand-up comics in the world. You know her from TV, podcasts. You can see her headlining at theaters near you if you check her website for dates before they sell out, because a couple of them are sold out. Please welcome one of your favorite guests, one of our favorite guests. It's Amy Miller!
Oh, what an intro. That was so nice. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi,
apologies if you can hear this cat screaming.
I can't.
Some of the tour dates
might
you
be
mentioned.
In your head.
Yeah, no, you'll see. I'm gone a lot, and I get punished this way when I'm home. My cat just screams at me.
Just yells at you.
Yeah, whatever. She'll get over it. You know what I mean? What do you want to be taken care of?
Cats take care of themselves, didn't you?
People say that.
That is the contract that we have with cats.
I got the one needy one.
That's right. All right. Well, Amy, it's great to have you back. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things that we're talking about today. There was a new report from like the gold standard of teen mental health. And they were like, man, kids are not doing well right now. Young teenage women, gay and lesbian teenagers are like really struggling. And so this came out like a week and a half ago. Last week, The Atlantic's like hot shit new columnist came through with like his take on it, and I just thought it was very emblematic of how the mainstream media is dealing with, like, my overall thesis is that this probably has something to do with like climate change and the fact that there is a ongoing apocalypse happening and we're just like kind of all agreeing to ignore it,
pretending it's not there.
And he like gives it a single sentence. He's like, some climate activist thinks it might be climate change, but then like goes on to a bunch of other like wild theories. So I just wanted to talk about that. Putin tore up the nuclear treaty. I was not up on where we were with the nuclear treaty, so I will catch you guys up on what that all means in case you aren't up on it either.
Why weren't you up on it? What have you been doing?
It's a question that needs to be asked. What the fuck is my problem? we might talk about some movies, some Knock at the Cabin.
Nice.
I know about movies.
You do know about movies.
That's really all I know about.
So Knock at the Cabin came out couple weeks back. I don't think it's like a certified blockbuster, but it did reach number one at the box office. So like BAFO-ish BO. And some people have pointed out that it seems to, that there are some potentially problematic ideas in there. I don't know. We'll talk about the
problematic ideas in a movie. Never
in a
heard
movie
of it.
By M. Night Shyamalan, which usually my philosopher king.
In a horror film?
I know. That's kind of my point, is that like, do we like horror films have like, you can't be like, well, The Exorcist is promoting the satanic panic, even though it did, but like, I still want to live in the world where The Exorcist exists, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about maybe that new Winnie the Pooh horror movie. Let's just talk horror movies.
I just saw
guys.
Ant-Man.
Oh shit! Well, we're going to talk about Ant-Man. I'll tell you what. We will be talking about Ant-Man.
Magic Mike, not a horror film.
Did you guys see Magic Mike?
The opposite of horror.
I saw Magic Mike.
Delightful film.
In my loins, I felt delight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And good. We're giving it a thumbs way up.
Oh, three thumbs good, up. Good, Jack. You can't go wrong.
I know.
What are we looking for?
Before we get to any of that shit, though, Amy, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
I like that you call the rest of your show shit.
Any of that bullshit.
That's good. Real professional stuff. Thanks for tuning in again.
Before we get to all the bullshit. Yeah.
Let's see. Well, this weekend I'll be in Oregon. My Portland show is sold out, but there's still some tickets for Salem. And if you're crazy, McMinnville, a lovely little town, you can go to a winery and then see some comedy. Yeah. Both about an hour outside Portland. So got you guys covered. And then a couple weeks I'll be in Alameda in the East Bay at the Alameda Comedy Club. And then I have a new clip up on YouTube. I haven't seen it because I don't want to look at the comments. But I hear it's great.
Yeah.
So you should watch it. Fan. Give it a thumbs up. I did it. I was at the show, so I remember it. But give it a thumbs up. Maybe leave a nice comment. If I don't know. I don't know what's
That's
going on
idea.
Over there. But yeah. And my whole special's up on YouTube, too, if you want to see more. And there you go to amymillercomedy.com for dates.
They're going to say moi. If you want to see moi.
If you want to see moi, come see me.
So your search
live.
History is just Amy Miller stuff?
Yeah, I was gonna-
No, I've gotten so much better. I'm really growing up. I just can't be bothered with what people are. Although I was on the New York Times TikTok yesterday. I have to encourage people to see this because it's maybe the dumbest piece of media about comedy I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's just about what water bottles people have on stage. It's like
no,
the most
that's
inane.
Hard. That's hard-hitting journalism. I don't know what you're talking about.
And then I did read some of those comments because, you know, TikTok comments are hilarious a lot of the time. Like, even if you're getting roasted, you're like, these kids are so fucking funny. but, you know, there were people that were just like, why aren't people using reusable water bottles? I'm like, I just took the bottle that they handed me at the taping.
Right.
I didn't, like, call ahead to Comedy Central. Like, I'm going to need a clean canteen on stage.
Yes.
It's just, it's the most insane thing. It's literally just about water and comedy.
Mm. Dude, are they trend chasing? Are they like
I feel like they just like gave one kid like a TikTok assignment and he was like, what about this?
Right.
It's like he doesn't know anything about stand up, but he just noticed that we have water bottles sometimes. And
has a bottled water company ever reached out to you and been like, we would love you to influence for on our behalf? Because that kind of makes sense. It seems like the advertising community falling down on the job.
Yeah, maybe it's happened to other people. I might not be famous enough, or according to this piece, I don't drink enough water, maybe, because they do clip out like the Robin Williams special where he has like 17 bottles of water on the stage. And they're like, some comedians move around a lot and they get really thirsty. I'm not exaggerating this piece, by the way, but I don't move at all. So I think one bottle is probably good for the whole half hour. Like,
there you go.
I don't know. It's wild. You have to go check it out.
I mean, no wonder these teens are so depressed about climate change because all these comedians are not using reusable water bottles. They're just chugging 17 bottles of water on stage, throwing them away, and look what it's done to our planet.
You know,
I came here for a good time, Amy, not to watch you destroy the planet Earth.
Well, what's wild is in the last 6 months, I've been doing a new bit about plastic bottles, and I'm like, ooh, you cut me. You caught me too early with this clip. Let's do a follow up in a couple months when that's been taped. So wild.
The New York Times TikTok needs to get up on their shit. I'm disappointed in
them. They're really trying.
What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, talking about gut health. I'm really tired. I don't want to do it anymore. Okay. I'm doing my best, but like, you know, I think my gut's okay. But I had a friend tell me that now the new thing is like we're brushing our teeth too much. And he was like, yeah, you have to like brush and floss like once a day. And I was like, nope, I don't. I'm going to keep three times. And if I shit more, that's fine. It's just I can't do it. I'm
how
so tired
that,
of it.
Well, how does that relate to gut health? We're like swallowing too much toothpaste accidentally?
No, he said like constantly removing the healthy bacteria from our mouths, which is like the first part of the digestive process, is somehow having a negative effect on gut health. I said, I can't care. I'm like, right. I want to have teeth. I don't know. Yeah.
It's
just
gone
too far.
You got to choose.
Listen, we were also at a birthday party, so let's just say that. I don't want to talk about gut health at a birthday party.
It does seem to be the thing that everyone has clinged on, has decided is the most interesting like health trend to talk about.
I know. It's bizarre. And it's like
sometimes it involves like poop transfusions and stuff.
And why
also people don't want to talk about it at birthday parties.
Speak for yourself. No. Okay. Right. I had an entire birthday party dedicated to poop transfusions.
Yeah. Caitlin has good theme parties.
Thank you.
What is something you think is underrated, Amy?
Oh, I'm getting really back into reading books. Do you guys do this? It's really lovely.
I think I've heard
of these. Reading books. sitting down, throwing my phone into the other room and just like reading a book.
That's very dramatic. I like it though.
It has like this whimsical, like, you know, childlike feeling to it, because that's the last time that I read books all day. Yeah. Or a lot.
Yeah.
I guess not, maybe college. Yeah, it's been really nice. Get out there. It's just some great fiction and, you know, you can just escape.
Yeah.
Books.
I got so much more interested in books, like, right when I graduated. I was like, I think there was just, like, some internal part of me. I was like, you can't tell me what to do. Like, I'm
oh, yeah.
And then, like, I started after reading college, all the books that I, like, skipped right after college.
I was the same way, yeah.
Books are delightful. Children's books, in particular, very whimsical.
They're so easy to read. I know.
Children's books. I'm tearing through like one, two of these things a week.
I love reading aloud to children. It's one of my favorite things. Like if I'm babysitting it's or so just hanging out with my friend's kids, I'm like, I'll read it.
The easiest like, audience.
Why is this lady you went to college with putting me to bed? And they're like, oh, so I can drink wine and not do it? And I'm like, once upon a time. Like, chill.
You even do a voice for the narrator?
You have to.
That's just the normal part.
I read the dedications and everything. You gotta.
About
the author.
You gotta. Yeah. Yeah. This book is actually copyrighted in 1983. Before even I was alive. Anyways, all right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about teen anxiety and why it certainly can't be caused by climate change. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. And this guy, Derek Thomas, is like kind of the new hot shit, like Malcolm Gladwell type guy, in that he talks exactly like Malcolm Gladwell and also is like a beloved counterfactualist. He has like a podcast on the Ringer Network.
I thought you were going to say below hard.
Below beloved. Beloved by many, not necessarily me. But there's this study that came out that is very troubling and is all about the extreme emotional trauma and, you know, distress that young teenagers are in. It's worse with young women and young gay people, but it's still like boys are headed in the wrong direction, like straight boys are headed in the wrong direction. But I was not aware that this is an update to a past article he had written, but he's like, all right, so last time I wrote about this, I blamed it on phones and social media. And there is some science that seems to indicate that's actually not the problem. And then there's like, he even gives space to like conservative perspectives, claiming that letting LGBTQ trans people were not like consulted for these statistics. So he keeps referring to LGBTQ people, letting them identify instead of like hide their sexual orientation is like causing the problem. He's like, I don't adhere to that, but this is like what conservatives like. So he's like putting all these different like, and there's this part of the conversation, there's this part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. But I want to read you the entirety of the climate change thing. He says, some psychologists point to social media, whereas others blame school shootings. Others chalk it up to changes in parenting. Climate change activists say it's climate change. Atlantic writers like me blather on about the decline of physical world interaction. So it's just the climate change activists say it's climate change as the whole, is the entirety of the climate change portion. He does link off to an article that is pretty wild. It's in National Geographic, and it's like, yeah, we talked to 10,000 young people and they all expressed, like the majority of them expressed the position that humanity is doomed. Like, which that seems like a big, that seems like a big deal. Been introduced into the equation over the past couple decades.
Right. Why won't he consider that it's several major factors? And also, like, one big factor that there is, I mean, maybe a positive effect of social media is, like, being able to have a conversation about mental health that maybe, like, teenagers wouldn't have had, you know, 30 yeah. years ago or whatever. Because now people are more comfortable being like, I'm sad or I feel anxious, you know?
Right. He does like, mention that. Yeah. He gets into, like, all possibilities. Like, he does say it could be a stew of all these things. But, like, all possibilities are brought up and explored, like the one you were just talking about, that, like, you know, people have better vocabulary to express these emotions. But the one that, like, is just a quick aside is climate change. And it just feels like that is, has to be, like, the biggest. It shouldn't be, like, a side conversation. It should be the main point, like, that these kids are living through a world that we know is being poisoned every day, and like every day the people in charge do nothing about it. So like there's this nihilistic perspective and like functional like worldview of like how the world exists and like the jobs they're supposed to get. Like it's easier to get a job that helps that system continue to pollute the globe, you know? Like it's just a, like you're living in a broken society. I feel like, yeah, it makes sense that you would be struggling with anxiety and depression.
Be so depressed that it's like the planet you're living on will not sustain life in some amount of years, and maybe while you're still alive. Like humans invented religion to deal with our own mortality. So like imagine kids being like, oh wow, my mortality is like so much more imminent than the generations before me, because the planet that we're on is like, is just suffering so drastically.
Well, and it feels personal to them, I imagine, because like we had the information and then still like brought them here. Like, yeah, for like with a certain amount of, you know, years under your belt, you're like, well, I actually did this too. I've contributed to it. You know, we're all part of the problem. And if you're a kid, you're like, wait, they knew? Because our parents didn't like pay attention or care, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
So it probably just, I mean, yeah, I'd be pissed. But yeah. There is also a large factor of just like, additionally, they're teenagers and it's fucking horrible to be a teenager.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It is like over time, like it seems to be getting worse to be a teenager is like the thing that he's trying to explain in this article. And yeah, it does seem like the article he links off to for his like quick aside. And like, that's what I do frequently wonder, like how much of this is them just like not wanting that. They're just like, well, yeah, it's climate change, but like, what are we going to do about that? And so they just like kind of leave it as an aside rather than write the whole article about it. But like, yeah, the article that actually like delves into climate anxiety among young people, like they're talking about how they're like, yeah, our teachers keep being like, and your generation are going to solve it for us. And he's like, that doesn't make me feel good, you guys. That makes me stressed out that you guys are just kind of leaving this one up to us. And also, we're the ones who are dealing with the consequences. Like, you know,
also, by the time they could even like this young generation, I sound so these young kids,
yeah.
By the time they could do anything to enact any kind of change, I feel like it's already too late, but it'll be very too late by then.
Right.
So
thanks to a world, thanks to a world that they exist in where it's just like the status quo is like, but the real thing we need to talk about is your anxiety with regards to this. Instead, like even the National Geographic article like frames the thing as like, what do we do about climate anxiety?
It's like, yeah, we need some more teenage geniuses. You got to step it up, kids, because we need you to start working on this now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't want to wait to fix climate change until you're an adult, then guess what? Hit those books. Again, yeah. Reading, right?
Yeah. Mm.
It's fundamental.
Yeah, crack open the Paddington books and really learn about
it. Get some test tubes or whatever, how you do
the
science.
Elephant and piggy books.
A lab coat, some goggles, and start working on it.
Listen,
you know
to us.
What's sad
We're
is
taking it seriously. Okay.
They are working on it.
Yeah, this podcast is giving them the most anxiety. Just like, do they think this is helping? Do they
no, think this, that this, po- is- this is an escape. We're helping them forget.
Yeah.
Laughter is the best medicine for people and for the planet.
Right.
Planet medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot of people recently like make fun of the phrase gaslighting because it's now come to mean any form of like misleading someone, you know, like mm-hmm. tricking has like gaslighting has come to replace just all lies,
deceit,
lying. Yeah, deceit. But I think that it's probably like I think there's probably some pressure like being put on that phrase from the fact that like the big overarching like major lie that we're all existing under is just this like broad scale gaslighting where like people in charge are like, yeah, things are bad. We get it. And we're like, man, somebody should do something. And they're like, totally. And then they just like don't do anything. They just like steer into the fucking spiral. And I would understand why everyone feels like they're in a constant state of being gaslit.
Mm-hmm. You really bummed me out.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I hope
who's
that
you're not who's gaslighting you.
Who's gas? Yeah. I hope that like people get better at
gaslighting.
Get better at gaslighting so that we don't have to deal with this anxiety.
So that no one recognizes it. Yeah, the term is overused, I think, because people are bad at it. Like,
right.
If you're really excellent at gaslighting, they don't notice. That's the whole point.
When you're really good at gaslighting, you don't even notice that a thing has happened. But even like treating the anxiety over climate change as a like a mental health condition to treat feels like expert level gaslighting, you know?
Where it's there's always this idea that we can't treat two things at once. Like, that's what's so wild.
Right.
You could just like fix several things simultaneously, maybe, or start trying. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about good news. Vladimir Putin has decided to tear up the nuclear treaty.
Just to set this up, did you see the clip of, maybe you guys covered it on another show, of Trump calling it the other N-word?
No.
No.
I don't think I did.
Oh, it's sounds pretty like incredible.
But it was during his, essentially, the like Russian State of the Union speech. He also, like, it's interesting because, like, if you look at the whole speech, he's also, like, spending a lot of time blaming the West for, quote, making pedophilia the norm in their lives and, like, same-sex marriage and, like, just all the shit that is, like, talking points on Fox News already. Like, I guess I knew that there was a overlap between Fox News because like in the war effort and the ramp up to war, they were using like Tucker Carlson clips, but it seems like it's like a real core part of his argument for why they should like go to war with the entire West is like a bunch of Fox News talking points, which is cool.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
So most consequentially, he announced that Russia is suspending their participation in the New START, which is the last remaining nuclear arms control treaty between Russia and the U.S., which it seems like the major component of the treaty is that both countries are permitted to conduct inspections of each other's weapon sites. But apparently that hasn't been happening since before the pandemic. So I don't know. Some people are saying, so really, like, this doesn't fundamentally change the facts on the ground so much. But I don't think anyone thinks it's a good sign. But things are like headed in the right direction. Anyone, I don't think anyone thinks that except Caitlin. Caitlin, take it away.
Yes. Well,
counterpoint. Don't gaslight her over this, okay?
I was going to say that, you know, just add that to the list of things that teenagers should be anxious and depressed about are, you know, impending nuclear war.
But we had this. I mean, this is what we at least I did back in the like 80s. My first memories took place in a world where like Russia supposedly had like a globe ending number of nuclear weapons pointed at whatever, you know, city you were in. So I don't know. But so on that one, I'm going to give it a big toughen up, kids, because we've been dealing with this forever.
Yeah, this is old news. Okay.
Yeah, and we wore those plaid shirts in high school, too. Okay. So you didn't come up with this shit. Yeah, I do feel like, I don't know, I'm always comforted by, this is probably very wrong, but just like human beings thirst for wealth. Like, I just am like, I don't know. I it's always like made me think nuclear war won't happen because I just think everyone wants to keep staying alive and getting money and running our pedophile rings.
Right. Exactly. Profitable.
Also known as Hollywood. What?
Thank you.
Wasn't that weird that I always sort of agree with them? Like, right. The Fox News like pedophilia paranoia, I'm like, I mean, kind of.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Look at the evidence.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish that they would police it a little more on their side, but
A few weeks ago, the State Department said Russia was already violating the treaty, and Russia countered that the U.S. were the ones violating the treaty. So it sounds It sounds like it's at a mature place, the conversation. But yeah, I know what you mean. I did have the thought because I guess Xi Jinping is traveling to Moscow to like, who knows what, but I think people's biggest fear is like a world war where China and Russia join sides and the, you know, neocon, neoliberal position on that has always been like, but globalism makes that more unlikely because we all have economic reasons to, you know, join hands and not kill each other's entire population.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
And that's a beautiful thing. Just kidding.
That is such a beautiful thing. Only kill them over a long period of time slowly
right.
while gaslighting right. them about how we're all in it together.
And literally killing them with gas.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
I do also like in this speech that he was like, talked about the gender neutral God.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
he's fearing. Welcome.
It's totally just right wing talking points from
a God I yeah. can believe in.
Yeah. There we go. So I guess we'll see. That's how I'll end that story.
Nice.
We'll see. All right, let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and let's talk horror movies, horror films. Sometimes scary feelings feel good in a place like this. I think we can all agree.
We come to this place to laugh, to cry, to be scared.
Thank you.
You know, my boyfriend lives in Omaha. Long story, I'll tell you later. But he was visiting LA, and we went to a movie, and everyone started clapping when Nicole Kidman came on screen, and he was like, what the hell is going on? He had never seen it. They don't like have a lot. They don't really have AMCs in Omaha. Maybe they have one, but it's definitely not like an iconic moment in their lives.
Yeah.
And the entire theater erupted in applause. And he was just like, I don't know.
What?
This shit's weird out here. He's yeah. like, did she die? What? Is Nicole Kidman okay? I'm like, no, she's fine. She inspires
it's
us
camp.
To watch the movie that we already are here to watch.
Yeah.
She's what? Telling us to come to the movies while we're at the movies and we get excited.
Your movie theaters don't have an ad for the movie theater that you're already in?
Right.
What? Omaha? Okay.
And it's not even for concessions. It's not like, you know, like go get a Coke. Coke's delicious. It's like, come to the movies. Well,
yeah, at least the like, I already let's did. All go to the lobby. That makes yeah. sense because it's like, because that's how well, that movie rips. Theaters make their money is concessions.
Yeah. Right.
But this was just like, you're already sitting at this theater about to watch this movie. Just wanted to remind you, thanks. I'm Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a sparkly pinstripe suit.
Oh my gosh. Iconic.
I know. It was the Halloween costume of the season, I feel, 2021.
It was. I dressed
because
as...
she is wearing a wig, so like you can also complete that part.
Famously.
Or it feels like it, yeah.
I dressed as AMC Theaters for Halloween, and then because I knew that everyone else was going to go as Nicole Kidman, so I could be like, hello, I'm like, we can take a picture together because I'm like the counterpart to your costume.
It I was brilliant. A United Artists Theater. Regal, the whole chain.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. It's a good thing you guys didn't run into each other.
Yeah, we would have had to fight.
Problems. I feel like that is where we talked last week about a couple movies where like brands are the new hero, like with the new movie that's about the invention of the Air Jordan or the invention of Tetris.
Tetris,
like,
yeah.
Just people dressed as the various brands fighting one another, I feel like is... probably not too far away.
I will write all of those screenplays.
I am wearing a Chevron t-shirt right now. So I just, I love, we do love brands. It's interesting.
Dress for the role you want to play, you know?
Mm-hmm. That said, I am wearing a Titanic. I said that so weird. Titanic t-shirt right now.
Did Titan the, you are.
Oh, you really are.
You really, really are. Am. Yeah. And it's beautiful. It's a work of beauty. It is the poster.
I'm wearing a Caitlin Gill hoodie.
What about a Caitlin Durante hoodie?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Get a screen printer. What was the AMC theater costume? Was it just like the logo?
The suit. Oh.
I'm so glad you asked.
I can't answer this.
Well, I have a sweatshirt that I already had. I didn't even need to buy it for this costume. A sweatshirt that says... somehow heartbreak feels good in a place like this. I wore
perfect.
Red pants with like I attached string lights up the sides of the pants to make it be like, oh, these are like the lights that are illuminating the like stairs to like help you see your seat kind of thing. And then I taped some candy wrappers to me, and then I carried around an AMC popcorn bag and soda cup. I'll send you a photo. In fact,
where
that'll
was
be
your
the
MacGuffin?
Photo.
Is what I want to know.
Well, you mean the MacGuffin's bar?
Mm-hmm.
I did drink alcohol all night out of my cup, so
well,
that was kind
go.
Of MacGuffin's bar at AMC Theaters.
Beautiful. So, anyways, movies are a thing. They happen at AMC Theaters. One such movie that came out. They happen at AMC Theaters, and I should say only. AMC Theaters.
Yes.
As of this podcast has become a AMC absolutist podcast where we don't acknowledge
finally.
The existence of any other movie theater. One movie, Knock at the Cabin, came out fairly recently, the latest in the M. Night Shyamalan oeuvre. And this one, I remember seeing the trailer and being like, okay, so the twist has to be because so the premise is two men and their daughter are like at a cabin in the woods, and they are accosted by a bunch of religious zealots. And there is violence against the gay couple, both in like as they are, there is like this home invasion, but also in like flashbacks of like their life. And so I was like, well, certainly the religious zealots can't be right. In this movie, right? Like, because they're like, you have to kill each other to save the world. And I'm not going to spoil it, but it does feel like they are correct about a lot of stuff in the movie. And
that's
like,
what I've got. I haven't seen the movie yet, and I might or might not. I don't know. M. Night Shyamalan, I'm not like, you know, clamoring to see his movies anymore.
Right. Yeah.
But I am curious, but it does seem like based on just some context clues from the trailers I've seen, it does seem like, and the twist is the scary religious zealots who want people to murder each other are that there's something to it.
Right.
They might be correct.
Are religious people mad about the movie or they like it? Because I feel like we've had these like scary religious zealots in horror films and thrillers forever. And for the most part, Christians don't appreciate it because they're like, that's
because they're painted as the villains.
They're painted as the villain, but I think rarely are they like, and they were right about the threat that was coming, right? Like, so it, we'll just say the movie actively invites sympathy for these stand-ins for the most dangerous people on the right. Although they do claim that the characters being gay has nothing to do with their role in all of this.
Sure.
They've just been selected by God. But I don't know. On the one hand, it feels very much like that's a weird message to be putting out at a time when America has this like soft death cult taking over like mainstream politics for like one of the parties, like in QAnon, to then just be like, and what if they were right? What if they were right about it all?
And that's the beauty of Hollywood, you know?
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, there's also like The Exorcist or Rosemary's Baby. I think you could be like, well, those came right before the Satanic Panic. And that was certainly a bad thing that happened from the right. So maybe it's just like the right not being able to handle their shit.
Well, also gay couples, you know, more likely to financially be together enough to have a vacation home, let's be honest.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What, you know, not that many average American straight families have their own cabin retreat. So that's good, right, for them.
So that's good representation. So
it's just realism. It's just realistic. That's all.
My main takeaway from the knock at the cabin is that I always think that it's knock at the cabin door. I always think there's an extra word to the title and there simply isn't. And I feel like they forgot to include that extra. It just feels incomplete as a title to me.
Yeah. Also, the intruders all met on an online message board, as super producer Victor just pointed out. Mm. But yeah, there are certain titles that just like don't sit in my brain, and I refute, like, I'm like, well, that's not anything to do with my brain. That is, they got the title wrong.
They messed up, yeah.
And it would be awesome if I could come up with an example of that. Maybe.
Wait, and the villain
show
is Dave Bautista?
Yeah. So they picked, like, just your regular, sad, unassuming. Apparently, he's very good in the film, and that is, I think, the people who are objecting to the portrayal of, like, this right-wing death cult being too likable are reacting to the fact that he gives a very human performance as one of them. And yeah, so I don't know that this is going to like derail his career in any way, but I
don't know. Always go back to wrestling.
He could. I think he's gonna be a like an Oscar nominated actor at one point. It's a weird
too
take, but I think
for
he's
this
a
movie
really good
for Knock at the Cabin.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, somehow they're going to go back and be like, oh, I guess it did come out. And yeah, so there's still hope that he will be nominated for an Oscar.
There's buzz. We're starting the buzz. Yeah, this is how it begins in media.
Here. Yeah. And then the other big horror movie release is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, a film that we'd kind of seized on when we first heard about it and the trailer dropped. And this is basically the result of Winnie the Pooh, the original stories by A.A. Milne, passing into the public domain. Like, so they are now 100 years old. They are up for grabs, like Peter Pan and the Wright brothers, but the Brothers Grimm, the Bible, classics, you know. And so somebody had the idea, okay, I'm going to take Winnie the Pooh and make him the slasher in a horror movie. When you see the trailer, it looks like it's just some dude in a Winnie the Pooh mask that also doesn't look that much like Winnie the Pooh, to the point that you suspect that they spoke to a lawyer and the lawyer was like, I actually don't know if this is going to be okay.
Which, because some of it came from Disney.
Right.
Yeah. Not the books. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why Winnie the Pooh was not allowed to wear a red shirt in the film, because mm-hmm.
he does wear a red cap with white writing on it, which I thought was weird.
Yeah.
Did you see the movie, Amy?
No, I just wish he was a MAGA Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, okay. Wow. That
he does kind of give MAGA Winnie the Pooh vibes, though, like in the shots that I've seen from the trailer. The movie's out. Everyone seems to hate it. It is made by a filmmaker who is like a hobbyist, it would appear. Like, he very recently was just like worked for an electricity company in the UK. Or, like, I think they've actually nationalized it. So, like, he was a government bureaucrat working in electricity and, like, making movies on the side. And so he just, like, got to this idea first and was, you know, a corporation is not going to, like, anyone who is part of an organization with a legal department is probably not going to be the first to an idea like this, which is how I think this ended up happening. But yeah, they the reviews aren't great, but it does just raise the question of, like, what are we going to get next?
Look, again, this is, well, I don't even know if this is Hollywood ingenuity, but this is some kind of ingenuity, though. I don't hate the idea. The execution I heard is bad, but yeah. I think maybe it's just because I like bear media. Famously, Paddington
stan.
And I like Winnie the Pooh.
Cocaine Bear.
I already have a ticket to see Cocaine Bear Thursday night, like the night Amazing. Before it officially opens.
Wow.
I'm ecstatic
yeah.
about these bears.
I'm fine with the idea. I am afraid for what else we're going to get when their time comes. But never been a big Christopher Robin fan. So if he, like, goes after Christopher, fine. Like, just never was about him. You know, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You're an annoying kid. You're spoiled.
Right.
And your bear now has a thirst for blood.
Right. I mean, I think it's, I agree that, like, in theory, it sounds like a good idea. Like, the Winnie the Pooh characters all seem to have, like, different problems going on. You know, Piglet definitely suffers from, like, generalized anxiety disorder. Like,
yeah.
Tigger is manic.
A meth,
like,
head.
Yeah, Tigger is on meth. And, like, there's also, like, so the premise of this is apparently that, like, Christopher Robin, when he grew up, was like, all right, I'm not going to go back to the Hundred Acre Wood anymore because I don't have an imagination anymore. And then he returns and realizes they were real and are now, like, feral and, like, eating each other and killing, and, like, that's, and then Winnie the Pooh, the killer feral bear, is released into the world, which is basically the premise of, like, Toy Story 3, like, kind of, or it's, like, got a lot of the same ideas in there.
Yeah, as totally.
Like, you know, like, the idea of, like, kids moving on from their childhood imagination, like the most depressing moments in the movie Inside Out. Like, it's a thing that Pixar has touched on repeatedly, and
but never made it a horror movie.
Chucky,
so.
Exactly.
The Child's Play franchise.
Right.
Do we know how long this movie is? Because it's the kind of thing where I'm like, if you're respectively, you know, 80, 90 minutes, great. Yeah. If this is 2+ hours long, I'm already annoyed, because I think it's a fine idea, but, like, I don't want to see it for that long.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right.
I would guess it's like 83 minutes. That's my, I'll put money on it.
Hour 40 minutes. All right. You know,
I hope
what?
10 minutes of that is credits, because
my guess based on the trailer, and I'll have to watch the movie to, like, figure out if this is accurate, but, like, I had the sense based on the trailer that this was just a slasher movie in which the slasher wore a Winnie the Pooh-ish mask, because, like, that appears to be what is like, it's a human in a Winnie the Pooh mask. And then like people were like, oh, they're making a Winnie the Pooh horror movie. That's so fucked up. And they like reshot a bunch of scenes to like add the stuff about Christopher Robin, like going back to the Hundred Acre Wood to like make it actually Winnie the Pooh who's doing the murdering. Aww. And maybe that's where some of the runtime problems would come in, is that they had to. But he does use Eeyore's tail to whip a shirtless Christopher Robin at one point.
Oh,
so, sounds kind of hot.
Is Christopher Robin ripped?
That's it. The review doesn't mention that, but that is the question that
get
is
back
begged
to me,
by
okay.
that description. Yeah, absolutely.
No one's seen Cocaine Bear yet.
It's not out at the time of this recording.
As of this recording, it's not out.
Oh, well, I know someone who saw it in Omaha last night. So.
Oh, really?
Disagree.
Yeah. What is this like magical movie world in Omaha where they don't have AMC theaters and movies come out a week early? That's great.
I know. I have no idea, but he definitely saw it last night. And I mean, I do think it's kind of cool that it's like that TikTok comedian who complained about his IKEA job in a funny way. And
yes.
Like,
what's his name?
I'm
Scott.
Like, Scott Stryce. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm happy for him. That's cool. It's a good start.
Oh, yeah. He's in Cocaine Bear, right? He's like the opening shot of the trailer.
Yeah, he plays like an EMT or something. Yeah.
I do keep waiting for him to be like, when he sees the Cocaine Bear, be like, all right, listen up, bear. Like the music to come in, him to turn to camera.
I keep waiting for him to turn and be sponsored by IKEA and just take the bag.
Yes.
And be like, sorry.
Sorry, everyone.
I was kidding.
Yeah. Why would he have anxiety? He's, you know. So it's a perfectly normal system where you criticize the labor practices of a thing, but then like when the only feasible option for you to get to eat is to be sponsored by them. It's a cool world.
You can only make so many Cocaine Bears.
That's right.
Maybe Cocaine Bear and Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey are both about climate change if you really think about it.
It's,
you know,
it's
the earth rising up and murdering us back.
Yes. Murder us back.
Whoa.
Daddy. Mm-hmm. It is interesting. Bears hibernate, you know, their polar bears are famously a symbol of like the mess that climate change has caused. And now we're getting multiple horror movies about bears. So.
And who knows what direction Paddington 3 is going to take?
We really don't know. We have some ideas that I believe you pitched them, Caitlin.
Yeah.
No indication yet if they've gone with that.
He doesn't eat marmalade anymore. Just pills. Just opiates.
That's right. People are really into bears on drugs.
Yeah. No more honey for Pooh Bear. No more marmalade for Paddington. It's only cocaine diet from here on out.
Yeah. So the original version of Mickey Mouse is about to enter the public domain. The filmmaker behind Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, apparently already has a Bambi and a Peter Pan slasher ready to go.
Which wow.
We'll see. I'm assuming it's just a slasher film with people wearing masks of those based on the Winnie the Pooh thing.
Like it's got like a $400 budget. Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of is how it feels. Anyways, Amy. As always, such a pleasure having you on the
so
Daily
fun.
Zeitgeist.
Lovely
where can people
you
find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Oh, yeah. Follow me on Instagram at Amy Miller Comedy. And then my website's just amymillercomedy.com. If you want to see if I'm coming to your town, I go to all kinds of towns all the time.
Amazing.
Chances are good. If you live in a town, I'll be there.
Towns. Towns are
or
really
city
your
or
thing.
A village.
I've always, always noticed that towns, cities, and villages. Like any
well, that's
grouping
like what
of
level
people.
Yeah. I'm at. I'm at the town level of comedy success. I've graduated from hamlets and islands.
Small private islands.
Yeah.
Is there a tweet or some work of media you've been enjoying?
Oh yeah, this tweet from Yucky Tom, who I don't know him. I've never seen him on Twitter, but I retweeted a couple days ago. A couple years ago, my buddy explained to me how killing yourself with an oven worked. Before that, I thought Sylvia Plath just cooked her head.
And I got retweeted in a lot of this because There's like this study on suicide called the British coal gas study that where when they got rid of that gas in ovens, like suicide went down. So the theory is that like suicide is all about opportunity and it's not always like a thing where anyways, it's a big, long like gun control argument.
Oh, please send it to me because you don't know this about me, but I love reading suicide studies. Always
really?
Have. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I like to study the trends. I don't want to do it myself. But yeah, I'm interested.
It's super interesting. I talk about it way too much, but people have confused that, like, because things just get like loosely associated in people's mind. They're like, oh yeah, Jack likes coal gas oven suicides, and so everybody just sent me that article. Like I'm a fan of that.
This is why we're friends.
That's right.
There's a callback. Gaslighting joke here.
Mm, there it is.
Oh, quite... if anybody was a comedian here, we could really.
Well, too bad.
Yeah, we're actually going to be working that out. I've started a flow chart, and we'll have something for you in the coming days.
Thank you.
Awesome,
Caitlin. Pleasure having you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff? And is there a tweet or work of media you've been enjoying?
You bet. And I'll start with that.
You bet. I love your Molly Shannon NPR voice. You bet.
The tweet I've been enjoying is from Young Me Mayor at YM Mayor on Twitter. It says, I respect my brain because sometimes it's all, you're too much. But sometimes it goes, you're not enough. That's called range.
Sad one.
And then you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Caitlin Durante. You can listen to my podcast that I co-host with Jamie Loftus called The Bechdelcast, where we examine movies through an intersectional feminist lens.
Yeah, yeah.
Whee.
Amazing. One of the best podcasts out there. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Louis Verkel tweeted, if you're ever in a sudden blackout, the first thing you need to do is yell my diamonds. And that's just facts that I would try and incorporate. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Super producer Justin, is there a song that you think people might enjoy?
Yeah, considering that the topics were pretty heavy and talking about depression and whatnot, I wanted to leave y'all with a very happy song. This is a California artist called Dinya. She is severely underrated, in my opinion. You probably heard this song in like a commercial or a TV show or something. And the song is called Easy Baby. It's exactly how it sounds. Dinya kind of describes herself as like pastel R&B artist, which I couldn't find a better vibe for that, because it's got this kind of like electronic dream pop vibe. It's very relaxing. It sounds like, you know, sipping Mai Tais or pina coladas on the beach. So check out this song, Easy Baby by Dinya. You can find that in the footnotes.
Footnotes. All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.